Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we continue on the topic of vocation. This is part two in the series. As we begin, let us remember that God is the one who made us, God loves us with an everlasting love, and God has a master plan for our lives. That is why he has given us various callings or vocations, such as being a worker and a family member. Through those vocations or callings, God wants to work through you to bless others, even as God works through others to bless you. Through this sermon, God will show us how to properly proceed as workers and as family members in our daily lives. First of all, we go to the topic of workers. Who was the first worker in history? That was God himself, creating all things in 6 days. God created a perfect environment for people. Then, upon the completion of his work, the Bible says God saw all that he had made, in other words, all the work that he had done, and it was very good. Then, the Bible tells us that on the seventh day, he rested. Then, God said to Adam and Eve, he gave them their work instructions, if you will. He said, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then, going on to Genesis chapter 2, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Think about our work now. God was the first worker. Then he gave work to us. So really, our work is an imitation of God's work. But now think about Adam's work in particular. It took place under two circumstances. Before the fall, with great ease and joy. After the fall, through painful toil. As we approach our work today, even though it can be difficult, let us remember that God puts us on like a mask and works through us to bless others. So let us use those abilities he has given us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Let's change a little bit here and go on to the topic of worship or work. Many struggle in this area, but think about the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Think about the company of that commandment. It's right up there with, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. But think about it, though. Did God give that command because he's trying to force us to come to church? By no means. The command is filled with love. God commanded the Sabbath rest for our benefit. Gene Veith wrote this in his book, God at Work. The Sabbath is God's gift to busy, distracted, weary human beings. He gives us a break, time to recharge our lives by spending time with him, our families, and ourselves. The Sabbath is God's gift to us, and he compels us to gladly receive that wonderful gift. May God help us in such ways to prioritize our lives so we might week by week receive that blessing. Also, too, under the topic of work, let's go on to this idea that Christians are in the world, but are not of the world. Let me read you a section here in John chapter 17. It says, Jesus speaking, it says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. That was part of Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. We had God the Son on earth talking to his Father in heaven. Well, think about us. We are in the world, and we are especially in the world as we live out our God-given vocations. As we do so, we have opportunity to shine the light of Christ upon many people who may never have contact with any pastor or any church. Each day, God gives you golden opportunities. May you see them and may you seize them. Still under the topic of work, let us think about this idea of Christians both working and resting. First of all, we faithfully do our work. Why? To fulfill our calling, to use our God-given abilities, and to help our neighbor according to his needs. However, and secondly, at the very same time, we always rest in Jesus Christ. He is God. He lived in our place. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead, and he opened heaven to all believers. Therefore, let us always rest in him for our salvation and continually be at peace. Now, as we continue, we switch over to the topic of family members. And as we think about that topic, that vocation of being a family member, what are you? Are you a wife, a husband, a son, a daughter, a mother, a father? All of us have one or more of those vocations within the family. Well, before we go on to the specifics of those family members, let's think a little bit about the origin of families. Adam, where did he come from? God brought him forth from the dust of the earth. What about Eve? God brought Eve forth from the rib of Adam. However, since then, God has brought all people into the world through other people. Think about it. From only two, a husband and a wife, God can bring forth a multitude of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and beyond. Let's turn now to this idea of relationships within families. God has given instruction to each person within a family. Let us hear and understand what his word says. First of all, in Colossians 3, it gives instruction to wives. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." In other words, God is saying, see your husband as wearing a mask of Christ and submit to him. As the church willingly submits to Christ, so wives should do so to their husbands. What about husbands? The Bible says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. In other words, sacrifice for your wife, even to the extent of laying down your life. Think about it. As Christ willingly laid down his life for the church, so husbands should be willing to do so for their wives. What about parents? When you have a wife and a husband, oftentimes leads to parenthood with the blessing of God. Well, thinking about parents, God has worked through parents to make children, and God also wants to work through parents to train those children in his word. Gene Veith, again, in his book God at Work, put it this way. He wrote, "It is the parents' job, or rather vocation, to train up a child in the way he should go. The Bible also has these important words of instruction for parents in regard to their children. In Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 6, it says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." God wants parents to take this role of being Christian parents very seriously, and what that means is to do everything you can at home and at church and everywhere to impress God's holy word upon them so that they might grow up themselves in Jesus Christ and pass on the faith generation after generation. Also, too, the Bible says this to children. It says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." In other words, obey your parents. Why? Because they represent God in your life. In a sense, children, think about your parents like this. God has taken your parents and put them on as a mask. So as you obey your parents, you are obeying God. There is also a further reason, as written by Martin Luther and quoted by Jean Vieth. This comes out of the Large Catechism. It says, or I should say Luther wrote, "Children need to realize that they have received their bodies and lives from their parents and have been nourished and nurtured by their parents when otherwise they would have perished 100 times in their own filth." Boy, Martin Luther tells it like it is. He doesn't pull any punches. He goes on to write, "Those who look at the matter in this way and think about it will, without compulsion, give all honor to their parents and esteem them as ones through whom God has given them everything good." We also have instruction to fathers, and maybe we could include mothers here as well, but the Bible says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." Well, don't embitter them. However, discipline them, but do so in love. Consider the words of Jesus. He said, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline." No matter what the world says, discipline done in love is truly best for all children. We know it is best because that is what the Word of God teaches. Some final instruction here, primarily to older children, maybe much older children, as we think about their parents coming to the end of their lives, what are older children to do? We just talked about the situation with parents caring for younger children. Now, let us go in the direction of older children looking after their parents. What does the Bible say? In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says, to older children, it says, "Put your religion into practice by caring for your own family, and so repaying your parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." God wants us to be very serious about our vocations of being workers and of being family members, but let us know that God is with us, God is helping us, God is supporting us and strengthening us and guiding us. He will carry us through. So as Christian workers and family members, let us constantly remember God's presence in our daily lives. Let us rejoice in his full forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and let us live out our callings unto God's glory. And all God's people said, Amen.